Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ches, and we are holding on daf Kuf Zayin Amid Beis in the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. So the Mishnah starts, Ha'omer l'chaveri. Someone says to his friend, Chatzi sod ani moichelach, I'm selling you half my field. Shamnim beineim, which pashas means we divide it between them. The Gemara will explain what that means. V'noitel chatzi sadeyu, and therefore he takes, the buyer takes half the field. Let's say he says, I'm selling you the southern side, half of the field on the southern side. Again, and he takes chetzia in the south side. And the seller is mekabel when he sells it, makom hageder, the place for a fence around his portion of the field, charitz. A trench, in between the fields, ben charitz, and which is a smaller trench, as well that he has to give room for that as well between their fields, the kama, and how big are these charitzes? How big are these ditches? The Gemara says kama hu charitz shisha tfachim. The big one, the first one is six tfachim, uben charitz shloisha, and a smaller one is three tfachim. Says the Gemara, Amr Chia Baraba, Amr B'Yechanan, Lekeach Neitel Kochosh Shaboy. The Lekeach, the buyer, takes the weaker portion, the inferior portion of the field. Says the Gemara, when you sell half the field, the buyer gets the inferior one. Amalei Reb Chia Baraba L'Reb Yechanan, V'hanam Nesham Nemeneim T'nan. Didn't we just read in the Mishnah that it seems that we divide them, Nesham Nemeneim is equally, we take the value of each of them, and we divide it equally. So how could you say that the Lekeach gets the inferior one? Amalei, he responded to him, Adachat, while you were eating dates in Bavel, Targimna, we in Eretz Yisrael were Metargimet Misefa. We learned up the Mishnah, the pshat of the Mishnah from the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Tani Sefer, because the Sefer says, Chetzia Bedarim, Ani Marchalach. Half in the southern part I'm selling to you. Misham Nemeneim, Venoita Chetzia Bedarim. Vamai, Misham Nemeneim. Why we. Figuring out the value of the parts of the field. He said Mefarsh, which part of the field we're going to give him. If we're going to say Mefarsh, which part of the field we're giving him, what does the Mishnah mean? And then with Misham Nemeneim, we evaluate the field. There's no point. We know which part of the field. El Ladami, Hachanami Ladami. Rather, the Mishnah must mean is when you said half the field, you meant the value of half the field. So if the Dorim side of the field was inferior, he would need a bigger piece of the field. So you'd have to go up and give him a bigger piece. And the seller who owns half of the field, it means half the value. So he might get a smaller piece of the field, but it's a more quality piece. And therefore, that's what it means, a dummy. So to the ratio, when he says, Tam says, let's split the field, the same is true. You can give him the inferior part of the land as long as the value of both of these are chetzia, are split in half. And that's what Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yechanan, meant. Zok the Gemara. Ha-mekabel lov makom geder. The seller still has to mekabel the place for the geder. Tana, charitz mbechutz. We learned in a brisa that the charitz is outside of, as outside, ben charitz b'fnim. And the smaller charitz, the smaller trencher between it, is within the outer one. But they're both outside the fence. So you have a fence, just in theory. You have a guy that owns a field. He bought a field. So he has a field, and around his field is a fence. And behind that fence is a small charitz, and after that is a bigger one. That's how it works. Kedei, and why do you need all this? Kedei shelo techaya kofetzes, so that you shouldn't have animals that are jumping over his fence from one field to another field. They're going to jump over the fence, so therefore you have these little ditches, these little precautions, so that an animal can't go over. Says the Gemara, v'la'avid charitz v'lo la'avid ben charitz. Just have one charitz. We said it's six tefachim big, whatever it was. Have one charitz after the geder. Why do you need to have two? Why do you need a ben charitz too? The Gemara says, "Aydi deravach, since it's very wide, kaima begave, the animal could go down and stand inside of it, v'kafzen, from there it could jump onto the fence." So the Gemara, fine. So if you need a ben charetz, you need a small one, so then why do you need a big one? La'avid ben charetz, just put a smaller one where an animal can't fit inside of it. V'lo la'avid charetz, and then you don't need a bigger one. Mara says, no, aidi, the katan, kaime, since the ben charetz is small, kaime asfase, it could stand on the lip, on the edge of this trench on the other side, the kofza, and I'll still be able to jump onto the geder or over the geder. So says the Gemara, therefore you need both. You need the bigger one, and then you have a smaller one, and then you have a geder. Kama ben charitz, how much space are in between these two places? Tefach, one tefach comes out from here, that the Mishnah said, first one was 6, second one is 3, and you need another one in between, so you need 10 tefachim. After you sell chatzar, divide your land, and you're giving someone a piece of land on his chatzar, you need to give him 10 tefachim after that to protect him from his field, and hadron alach base kor. That is the end of perek base kor. And at this point, we're starting Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Perek Yesh Noichlam, the 8th Perek of Bava Basra. And the Bava Basra, interesting, started off with Hashutvim, started off with Shcheinim, and we went into Chazakas and Kinyonim, and then we went into Mechira, Mechas HaSvina, Mechas HaBayis, Mechas HaPeres. And now the Masechta is switching gears and going into a new sugya, which is pretty much exclusively found in Bava Basra, and that is the sugya of Yerushas. I was mentioning that, and I went in, I knew I was going to give the daf, I went into this farm store to try to find a sikkim on something on Yerushas, and it, believe it or not, it's actually very hard to find a lot on Yerushas, especially in a clear version, either whether it's an art school, whether it's in the Hebrew Sefer, it's a very complex issue. It's a very unknown issue. Maybe it's the type of issue that people don't want to talk about because it talks about, you know, obviously after a person passes, but it's obviously mitzvahs in a Torah, and it's obviously very applicable to nowadays, and so we'll try to get started in the sugya. So at the Lamaisa, it is a mitzvah in Torah. The Rambam brings it down in a sefer mitzvah asen reish mem ches. Then the Chinuch brings it down mitzvah tuf, that there is a mitzvah asay the reisa of nachla. The Ramban actually brings down that there's lois asays as well, not to give one son over another son. The question is, what's this mitzvah? What bechlal is this mitzvah? You could say, maybe, that the mitzvah would be on the father. The problem is, what's the mitzvah on the father? The father passes away. The mitzvah is right after the father passes away, what happens to all the nachla? So you say to the mitzvah that he should command what to do with all his things. But, you know, masna masha kasa b'tayra, the tanai isn't kayim anyway. This is not only hilchos mammon, it's also a surim. The mefarshim speak out, because masna masha kasa b'tayra b'mammon maybe you could do, but it's surim as well. If these are in yoni that are a surim also, so therefore even if the father says, or to do it b'derech ha-tayra, or he says to do it a different way, what's the difference? Once he dies, now, you know, whatever he said would or wouldn't count anyway, so therefore, what's the mitzvah? So, I heard that in the Sefer from Rabbi Rucham Fishel Perlow, he published the Chibur on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of Rav Sadia Gaon, and in there he points out that Rav Sadia Gaon, as well as other people that were masada the Sefer HaMitzvahs, break it up into different categories. Just like the Rambam makes it into asays and leis asays, they add two more categories, and that is Einchim, which is Einchim Bezdin, and Parshias. What's Parshias? He explains that Parshias are mitzvahs that are not mutl on any one person to do. It's mutl sort of on the tzibur, like Saim Tassim Alach HaMelech, or establishing Bezdin and courts and all that. That's not a mitzvah on any one individual, it's a mitzvah bechlal. And Rucham Fishel Perlow points out that the Maisa, Reb Sadia Gaon, puts this mitzvah of Yarshim in that category. He takes this mitzvah and he puts it in that category of Parshias. So it comes out that the mitzvah of Yerusha is not specifically, you're right, it might not, it's not on any person, it's on the people that are around the mace, on everyone else to be Mekayim, the way the Torah says to do the Nachla, to do the Yerusha once the person dies. Which to me was a interesting idea and interesting to hear. The truth is, it's in the Lashon of the Torah, in the Lashon of the Torah in Parshas Pinchas, which is the first place and the primary place where it discusses Yerusha, at the end, the Pasuk starts also, Ha'isav Nei Yisrael L'chukas Mishpat Kachativa Hashem Es Moshe. It seems from the Lashonis of the Pesukim as well, that it seems to be a mitzvah on everyone to be Mekayim what the Torah says. So how Yerusha works is obviously a very complicated story. It doesn't seem to work like the regular, you know, kinyanim, because, you know, if a person dies and leaves over one child, there's no kinyan that he has to make. It automatically becomes his. There's no kinyan. Now, if there's a bunch of children, then you might need a kinyan in order for the chaluka to be a real chaluka and know who has what. But from the father to the son, it doesn't seem that there's a kinyan. It seems that the Torah sort of gives it to him. There is a different mahalach that the son takes over b'makim aviv. It's not just, it doesn't work like every other kinyanim. Rather, the son is ma'alim makim the father. I mean, that's why they're, you know, the son is yorish shivcha, which any other karev would not be. Maybe a son works differently than other yarshim. Maybe some yarshim, they have to actually get from the person that is being yorish, there has to actually be a kinyan. But maybe the son is somehow memala mokum. They talk about that as well. He's come tachtov. All these different technical shailas, we'll get to throughout the perek. But lemaisa, what was bothering me was a little halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, like I said, you know, in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos even Avelos, Hilchos Dini Mominus is very, very well known. When it comes to Maisa to a Yerusha and what happens, it's very, very not well known, and it's really how and why we find that most people do not give Pishnayim to the Bechar. Most people include women or wives in a will. And how does that work, Lamaisa, with the Torah, when the Torah says, as we'll see, the order of Nachlas are first son, and if there's no son, then daughter, no daughter, then father, then brothers, etc., etc. So I actually did pick up one short Kuntra Sefer. It's from the Five O'Kone, the Rav in Flatbush, where he wrote a Kuntras Midar Ladar. And it's actually one side English, one side Hebrew, which is interesting. I'll read a little bit just from the Hebrew side, just to get with learning Yesh Neichlam, to know that there are these halachas and how it somewhat works. So he starts off, the purpose of this booklet is to solve a problem which is very prevalent in our time, and then that is the proper distribution of estates. So he goes into what the, you know, where the makar is. And he says, even though one may outright give a gift, right? So what's the simple answer? The simple answer is, oh, they give it, sha'achas kaidem misa. 1 minute before a person dies, he gives it as a gift. You're allowed to give as a matana. A person's not anyway allowed to give gifts. So if you give it as a gift 1 minute before a person passed away, maybe that's how it works. That's how wills work. He says, that's a nice idea. But he says, l'maisa, that only works for things that he has kaidem misa. But what about things afterwards? Eino de machna davar shaloi baloilam. So let's say, I don't know, his life insurance. And if you would say, if he has this type of life insurance, depends what type of life insurance, the term, whatever it is, that he had no ownership of it while he was alive. It only came to him after he was dead. You can't give that kaidem misa, he didn't own it. So you have $1 million policy, it should go 2/3 to the Bukhar and to the boys. No one else should get anything. So, and we don't see that. So he brings down a bunch of different ideas and options. At the end of the day, one of the options is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. You know, that the Shulchan Aruch says is a concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. The pashtus is, however, he brings down the Beis Yosef and different mefarshim that's dafka if it's a very sick man, that you don't want him to have chalish sadas, you don't want him to think that you're not going to listen to him. So there's new mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. But if a healthy person, maybe that wouldn't work. Like this, the Mordechai says it might work by a healthy person. Next idea is there's a concept of dina d'machusa dina, which is a very controversial piece from Moshe Feinstein. He says, l'maisa dina d'machusa dina over here would constitute somewhat a kinyan. If the dina d'machusa says that somehow wills work a different way, it's in a tshuva in Evin Ezer, Kuf Dalet, Moshe discusses that, the concept of dina d'machusa dina. But the best approach, which he says, is the approach that most people that are writing halachic wills use, is a concept of shtar chatzi zachar. That's the concept that you'll hear, which means, the mechanics of it work just quickly like this. The father is allowed to be mechayiv himself on a chayiv. A father is mechayiv himself to owe money. So before, say the way it works, he says the Ramah, Choshen Mishpat Reish Pei Aleph Zion discusses this, that the father writes a chiyuv, a shtar of indemnity to his daughter or to anyone as a very large amount of money. He says, I owe you whatever it is, $1 million. However, all of his nechassim, everything that he dies is mishubat to that person. He says, however, if you give the nachla, split it with your daughter, or split it with the way I tell you to split it, then it's meichel. That chayv is meichel. And therefore, that's a way of getting around it, and that's the way that most of these wills work with this concept of shtar chatzi zacher, in which the person that's writing the will is being mechayv himself a large amount of money unless you follow this will. The problem is, what if someone does not write a will? That's a good thought. And another thing is, what about the wife? What about what about her? How does it work? How does it work with most people die? All the nechassim, at least in Jewish, will go to the wife. So on the wife, they say there's a concept that since she didn't collect her ksuba yet, as long as she doesn't collect her ksuba, she could eat from the nechassim the way she always did. So therefore, she has all the nechassim meshubata. She holds all the nechassim because we tell her not to collect her ksuba, and that way she has all the nechassim. But more nafkaminas would come out. That's great. But let's say the wife now wants to then dedicate the building in her husband's name. She doesn't have a right to use the money for that. The children have to agree. It's still the children's money. She just has a right to use it for her needs. But to do things that are on her needs, maybe she can't do. So there are a lot of, obviously, different halachas on this topic. I just figured we'd throw some out just to whet the appetite and provoke some conversation about it. Before we start, let's just read from the Torah in where it first discusses these halachas of nachlas. So the Makar starts off, the first place is in Parshas Pinchas, in Perek Chav Zion, and the it starts off at the Kravna Benoit Slavchad V'chula V'chula Moshe. So the Benoit Slavchad came to Moshe with a complaint, and they said, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, our father died in the Midbar, and V'hu Loi Hayi B'seicha Eda Hanayadim Al Hashem Ba'adus Kairach, he wasn't part of all that, he died for another reason, most of the Machleikis, if it's who's in the Kaisha Shana, or Kiva, and what should we do? We want a Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. So Taka Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the Halacha, and he went to Hashem, and Hashem told him the Halachas, and then he repeated over to Bnei Yisrael. Well, Bnei Yisrael to Dabi Lemer, Ishki Yomis, if someone dies, or Ben Ein Loi, he doesn't have a son, so it seems that if you have a son, that goes first. V'avartim es nachal abitoy, then it goes to the daughter. The ein loy bas, he doesn't have a daughter. V'satim es nachlosoy la'achiv, then it would go to the brother. Im ein loy achim, if he does not have a brother. V'satim es nachlosoy la'achi aviv, then you would give it to the achi aviv, the father's brother. So main achi aviv, v'satim es nachlosoy sheiroi hakarev elev, to closest relative, mishpachta v'yerushay soy. And the Torah now, the Gemara now, in the beginning of Neichlam, is going to darshan, step by step, these psukim on the order of who gets the nachla, who gets it first, who doesn't. Just interesting, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yates points out that Lamais, the whole sugi of Nachla comes through the Benois Tzlovcha. And the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yates says, Raya Haya Parshas Nachla Luchta Vedei Moshe. The Parshas Nachla were right to be written. I mean, we need Parshas Nachlos in the Torah either way. So why? Ela Shezacha Benois Tzlovcha, the Benois Tzlovcha was Zeicha, the Nichta Vemayadam, and they were, and because of that, it was written through them. They were Ray, they were Zeicha, to the special S'chus, and it notifies each one of them by name, and because of that, they had this because they had the S'chus. The Chazal say it's the Avos of Eretz Yisrael. They had the S'chus that Nachlas should be through them. So let's start Yesh Noichlin. It's a short daf, so we can get through it without even rushing. Yesh Noichlin Umanchilim. There are those people, those relatives, those krivim to each other that. Anoichlim, they inherit umanchilim, and they also bequeath, meaning they give over an inheritance to somebody else. Yesh noichlim v'lo manchilim. There are some that inherit; they only take, but they don't give over. They don't give over an inheritance to that other person. Manchilim v'noichlim. Some bequeath; they give over v'lo noichlim, but they do not inherit v'lo noichlim v'lo manchilim. And then there are some relatives that do not. Do either. They don't inherit and they don't bequeath. In Hilchos Nachla, they do not connect. Says the Mishnah, Elu Noichlim Machilim. These are the ones that are Noichlim and Machilim. Ha'av al Esabonim. A father inherits from his children. So that's the first. And Avada, father, also gives over to his children. V'habonim Elav. And the relationship from the other way as well. Children inherit their father, and their manchilim to the father. Right here, Tosis already points out, if we know that the av bonim is noichlim manchilim, then of course it goes the other way also, the bonim elav, because that's what we mean. We mean you inherit and you bequeath. So if you're inheriting and bequeathing, so therefore, what does it have to repeat itself? The bonim elav, the sons to the father also inherit and bequeath. Tosis says, anachanami, just coming for a different reason, ayin sham. And the third one is va'achim min ha'av, and brothers from a father as well are noichlim achilim. They could inherit from each other, and they then give back Yerusha back to each other. Ha'ish as imoy of a man to his mother, ha'ish al ishtay, a man to his wife, ubnei achoyes, and the son of a sister, an uncle from the mother's side, noichlim. You can inherit from them. So a person inherits from his mother, a person can inherit from his wife, and a person can inherit from his mother's brother, from his uncle through his mother. However, it doesn't go the other way. A mother doesn't inherit a son, a wife does not inherit a husband, and an uncle cannot inherit his nephew, because it would have to go through the mother, and he can inherit through the mother. Next case in the Mishnah, Isha es baneh ve'ish es baila v'achi eim manchilim v'loy noichlim. Again, this is the opposite of what we just said, that a woman to a son and a wife to a husband and achi eim noichlim v'loy manchilim. These are the ones that they all give over, but they don't inherit as Yerusha. And the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yudalet is going to ask, why do we need to repeat it? We just said it the other way, that the opposite, the nephew or the son inherits and doesn't bequeath. So of course the mother bequeaths and doesn't inherit. So why does it have to repeat itself? Last case, Achim and Aim, and brothers from the mother, loy noichlim v'loy manchilim. Brothers that come through only a mother, they're not brothers through a father. These are not noichlim, like manchilim, they're not, they don't have dini Yerusha together. Dini Yerusha only goes through the father and the father's children. Zok to Gemara. Maishna d'ktani ha'av as bonim b'reisha. Listen, ha'bonim as ha'av b'reisha. The Gemara says, the Mishnah started off, the first case was ha'av bonim, a father inherits from his children. Says the Gemara, we should say the second case first. Ha'bonim al'av, the children inherit from a father. Why? One reason is that's chuli per parnusa lemaschen ilan. We don't want to start off with parnusa when a father has to inherit from his children. That's obviously something that's a tragic situation. Any father that's inheriting his children is a tragic situation. So why is the first case in the Mishnah, Aschil Parnusa, we don't like to start off with Parnus, why is the first case in the Mishnah that a case where the Ha'av al-Banim, the father inherits from the children? Just say the other case first. Say the Banim, as Av, they say the children inherit the father. That's reason number one. Void. Reason number two, the Torah says mefurish, a person dies and he doesn't have ben einloi, he doesn't have a son. It's mashma that from there inheritance first falls to the son. So you have a mefurish pasuk in the Torah, the inheritance falls to the son. So why would you skip the Mefurisha pasuk in the Torah, the inheritance starts from the son, and first say the case of that a father inherits the son? Say the most pasha the case in the Torah where a son inherits a father. That's the Shpitz case of Nachla in the Torah. Is a son inheriting their father? So why does the Mishnah first start off with a son? Two reasons why the Gemara asks, why would the Mishnah start off with the case of the father inheriting the son, the opposite of number one, the Shpitz case of the Torah where a son inherits a father, and number two, a case which is obviously Parnusa, is obviously a case of tragedy. The Gemara says, the Tana, so what's Pshat in our Mishnah? Aidi the Asile Midrasha Chavivolei. Since he learnt that a father inherits. How do we know a father inherits? I went through the whole, we read the whole parasha before, in Parashas Pinchas. It doesn't mention anything about a father. It starts off with a son, a daughter, brothers from the father, but it doesn't say anything about a father. How do you know that a father inherits at all? So since he learns it from a drasha, asim im le midrasha chavivolei, therefore it was very chashiv to him. Therefore he started off the Mishnah with the father inheriting, because that was learned from a drasha. And when it was learned from a drasha, it was hard work. Someone that toils, someone that works on something, that's more chashiv to him. So therefore that's why it started with that case. My drasha. What is this drasha? How do we know, bachlal, that a father inherits? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, She'eroi ze'av. The pasuk says, She'eroi, at the end of all these different relationships, son, daughter, etc., etc., the pasuk says, Nesatnes nachlasa the She'eroi hakarev elav. You give it to the closest, She'eroi, says the Gemara, ze'av. That's referring to the father. And then the Brisa continues says, Melame sha'av koidim la'achem. Not only is that the father, but we also see that then the father comes before the brothers in the order of Nachla. So you would have still the father, you would have a son, a daughter, and then the father comes before the brothers in Yerusha. Where we'll see that, that's the Gemara later on, how we see that from the pasuk. So Sheva said, "Umlam sha'av koydim lachem, yachol ye koydim leben." I might have thought that, okay, once we're learning She'eroi, tells through She'eroi, we're telling you that it comes even before the brothers. Maybe it comes even before the son as well. Maybe the Torah is not written in order. It's not first son, daughter, but She'eroi comes to undermine all that and says the father comes first. Says the Gemara, Talmud Leimar, Hakariv. The pasuk says Hakariv, the one that's close. Kariv, Koidim. The closest relative is first. And it's clear that the Gemara thinks at this point that a son is the closest relative to a person, even closer than the father. So therefore, the son would come first. Says the Gemara, "V'ma royis l'rabbis es ben l'hoitzi es ach." Where do we see what gives you the thought process to include a son l'hoitzi es ach and exclude a brother, meaning to say that a father comes after the son but before the brother? Mar banias ben. So says the Gemara, how do I know to learn it like this? If the pasuk is coming to tell you that it comes before one of the close relatives, how do I know it's coming to tell you that the father comes before the brother? Maybe it's coming to tell you the father comes before the son, and the brother comes before the father. Gemara says, Marbani is a ben, that we include the son, Shekin Kam Tachas Aviv Liada, since we see the relationship of a father to a son, that a son could do yid, meaning if the father leaves over, or doesn't even leave over, the son could marry a shivcha of the father, so there obviously is a close relationship between the two, so therefore he comes first, well, stay achuza. And also, legabe the halacha, so stay achuza, that a son is able to also be paida, the stay achuza, that his father sold as well. So therefore, since we see other halachas in the Torah, these two halachas in the Torah, where a son has a closer relationship with the father, we will say that therefore the son is the one that's close to the father first. Says the Gemara, Adarab, Marbanis Ach, Shekin Kam Tachas of the Yibum. The brother has a different halacha, and we find elsewhere in the Torah that proves his relationship with his brother, and that is the halachas of Yibum. That if one brother dies, the other brother then goes in its place and marries that woman, even without kedushin. He just has to do yid. So therefore, we see this close relationship of brothers. So maybe the brother is the one that comes first. Says the Gemara, no. This is a line the Gemara is going to use a few times. Klum yesh yibum ela b'makam she'ein ben, ha'b'makam she'esh ben ein yibum. The only reason this yibum is because the person died without any children. If he had a son, there wouldn't be yibum. So you can't say that the brother's relationship is closer than the son's because the brother has yibum. The brother only has yibum when there's no son. So therefore, if there's a son, so therefore it shows that the son has the son's relationship to the father, therefore, is closer than the brother's relationship to the father. The Gemara says, the Gemara continues, and that was the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Taima the Ikka Hai Pircha. So the Gemara says, the reason why you knew that the son comes before the brother is because of this Pircha, of Klum Yesh Yib Mel Makim Ben. Halav hachi havamina ach adif, but it's mashma from the Brisa, so that if not for that, we had a good question. Maybe the brother could come first because of Yibam. Says the Gemara, tepek lei the hachatarti v'hachachada. The Gemara brought two reasons why a son is closer to the father. Number one, yid. Number two, stay achuza. So why b'chlal did the Gemara think that Yibam alone was enough of a reason to make the brother closer? You have two reasons. You would have to come up with two different reasons for the brother too. Smur says, no. The truth is, Steachus is not Poshit, that the son is the one that has this right to redeem the Steachusa. The only way we know a son could do it versus a brother or father or anyone or anything like that is only because of this reason itself. So in theory, we had two psukim in the Torah that show relationships. We have the pasuk of Yid, which shows the relationship of a son out besides Yerusha, shows the relationship between a son and a father. And you have Yibum, which shows the relationship with the brothers, between brothers. So which one comes first? So the Gemara, I want to know which one comes first, even for Steachuza. The Braisa is already past that. The Braisa knows that this new Svara of the Gemara, which the Gemara said, that a son comes first, because Klom Yesh Libam El B'Makam She'ein Ben, the only time there is Yibam is when there's no son. So therefore, that knocks out the reason of Yibam, Legabe, the son, and therefore the son comes first, because he has Yid. That itself teaches us stay achuza. So you couldn't say that there's two reasons, the stay achuza and this yid, because stay achuza is only learned out gufa once you have this svara. Once you have this svara of klum yeshivim el b'makim ben, ein ben b'makim yivim, and that's when you could now have this svara to say that a son comes first, and therefore at this point the Gemara understands that the son comes first, son slash daughter. Then the Braisa learns out from She'eroi that the father comes first before the brothers, summons the brothers, and the brother would be Yarshin, etc. In the rest of the, and then the rest of the Yarshim follows that. Ad kan daf. So interesting that the Gemara pointed out on Amud Aleph that schule parnusa loy maschalina, that we don't want to start off the perek We don't want to start off with Piranias. This Lashon of Aschul Parnos Lemes Chalilon, we had one other time earlier in this Masechta itself, in Balbas Odaf Yudalar on the days. And towards the bottom, the Gemara was going through the different Svarim of Ksuvim, and the Gemara said that the order goes Rus, and then later on Iyov. Says the Gemara, Iyov me Moshe, Lamanda Iyov me Moshe, Lakad me Iyov Bereisha. Shouldn't Iyov, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, shouldn't it come before? Says the Gemara, no, Aschule Parnusa Lo Maschalina. We don't want to start off Ksuvim with Iyov. Iyov is filled with Piranias. Aschule Parnusa Lo Maschalina. The Gemara, Rus Nami. Paraniasi, but Rus is also filled with Paranias. It's also filled with a lot of difficulty. It starts off with, Machlan and Kilian and droughts and everyone dying, etc., etc. And Ami says the Gemara, Paranias isle acharas. That yes, it's Paranias, but at the end there's light. The Amar. Rabbi Yechanan, Lama Nikra Shemai Rus. What was her name? Rus. Sheyatza Imenu David. Sheroi Lakadosh Baruch Hu B'Shir Shishbachos. Her name was Rus because David came out of her, who praised Hashem and who sang beautiful shiras and shbachas to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So, for somewhat in the end of the yom, when Shua is coming up, the Maisa, this Gemara needs a beer. Number one, the Gemara was saying that we don't want to start off with Iyov because it starts off Piranias. So Gemara says, oh, what about Rus? And says, yeah, but Rus has an ending. It ends well. Fine, it ends well. But Lemaisa, we're talking about starting. Eschulet Parnusa Lemaschina. We're talking about the start. The beginning of Rus is a very difficult chapter. It's a difficult time. So how is the Gemara's answer that the Piranias Isleach Acharis, how does that answer the Kasha if we don't want to start off Piranias? That's Kasha number one. Number two, why do we need the Torah? Why do we need the Amar Rabbi Yechanan and Lama Nikon Shemai Rus? Anyone that reads through Rus will see at the end it actually says Rus Hailed is David. Yishev Hailed is David. It's mefurish that David comes out of Rus. We see that the end of Rus obviously ends on a high note. So what do we need a raya to say that Piranias, this Le'acharis, that has, at the end, it ends up good. The Amar of Yechanan, Lama Nekashirai Rosh, Sheyatsa Mimen, David, Sheyatsa Shabachais. Without this memra of Rabbi Yechanan, we could say this too. So the Teres Chaim over here on Bav Basra answers beautifully. He says that that he answers both questions with one. And he says that Piranias, this Le'acharis, doesn't mean in general, and this is true of everything, doesn't mean that it's Piranias that there's bad in the beginning and there's good at the end. Fakat, we know everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Gamz L'Tayv. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the Toiv. We just sometimes have to see it. A lot of times we don't see it. Piranias is the Acharis means that Rus is coming to teach us this lesson. Rus is coming to teach us that everything that happens, happens with a reason, happens with Makar. Why did Nachman and Kilian have to go down, etc., etc.? It all was to bring around David, to bring about Mashiach. We don't know all the cheshbonis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes, but at the end, when you look back at the big picture, you see, oh, that's why that happened, that's why that happened. In order for Rus to come out of Moyov, someone had to go down there, and only somebody like Naomi could possibly be the one to bring her out of there, and that was the only way for David to be born, the only way for Shiach to be born. And he says, that's what it means, Piranias Acharis, means the Piranias Acharis has an end, which shows you that the Piranias itself wasn't really Piranias. And that's why he brings a raya from Rus, because Rus, her name was Rus from when she was born, from the beginning, her name was Rus, because at the end, Yatzim Men of David, Raya Shizh Bachos. The end, all the way at the end, when David, when you saw David was born, etc., etc., that was already, we already all knew that in her name Rus from when she was born. When her parents named her Rus, Naomi named her Rus earlier on, it was all based upon this idea that Rus is going to end up bringing the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael, and that's what it means, Parnas Tislei Acharis. We have one more minute. There was one more nice word I saw from Schwab going back to Nachla and going back to the Bnei Slavchad, that the Psukim start off, that the Bnei Slavchad come to Moshe Rabbeinu And it says, they say, Avinu meis b'midbar, v'hu lo haya b'soicha eida, and then Hashem, b'adas kairach. Ki b'cheta meis, he died for another reason. And the person continue, and it says, v'ayikv Moshe mishpatum el Hashem. Now Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halachas. He didn't know what the halachas were, and therefore he had to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Schwab, a different pshat, and understand explaining what means he forgot the halachas. He says the pshat is Moshe Rabbeinu didn't forget the halachas, but Moshe Rabbeinu felt that when they came to him and they said Avinu Meis Bamidbar, and he wasn't Badadas Kairach, they were trying to somewhat bribe him, or somewhat, you know, kiss up to him and say he was, our father was on your side, our father was part of the good guys. And therefore, Moshe had to excuse himself from this din. Moshe had to bring the mishpat to Hashem. He had to excuse himself from his din, because once he was ready, once they were ready, beflattering him with statements that when we were on your side, our father was on your side, Moshe Rabbeinu at that point felt that it wasn't fair for him to don the case, and therefore he brought it lefnei Hashem. Shkach. Shkach. Shkach.